deteriorate on the outside of that seed. Something new came up through that seed. And it grew. The seed was only about like that. And that corn, as I said, is higher than I am. And it kept growing, kept growing. It didn't even have any... It couldn't even determine how high it was going to grow. And it didn't have any choice about putting about growing in the storms of life and the rain and all those conditions and the hot sun. Didn't have any choice. It was just put there out in life to develop. And, of course, it had little tassels on top and through cross-pollination. The ears of the corn to begin to develop, and they're developing now. And there'll be a time when it's ready, it'll be harvested, and it'll be taken into the barn or wherever it's going to go. And that's exactly the way we are. We didn't have any choice of where we were put into the world, who we were born to. We didn't have any choice as to how high we were going to go or how what our features were going to be like. We never had any choice for any of that. We didn't have any choice about being put into the world where good things happen and bad things happen. But there's one thing. At the end, there's always going to be an accounting. Now, if that corn never grew any ears and never had any grains of corn on it, it would have not accomplished what it was here on this earth for. It would have just been cut down and thrown away. No purpose whatsoever. But at the end, when the harvest came, the farmer's going to say, "Why, goodness, this was a particularly good stalk. It had perfect corn on it, had everything it was designed to be, and well done, you little grain of corn, because you accomplished what you're supposed to accomplish in this life." And it's the very same way with you and I. We're going to have an accounting at the end as to what we accomplished in the Lord. Now, if you know the Lord, you'll be able to accomplish something in the Lord. If you don't know the Lord, it's just all gone. It just completely tossed away. It was worth nothing. But if you know the Lord, then you can begin to grow these things in your life and in the life of others, that when the accounting comes, God will say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." But there's some problems in life because we have to deal with the world, the flesh, and the devil. We have to deal with these things. We're put into a world where these things take place. That corn was put into a world where there's beetles and bugs and grass and everything trying to choke it out so it won't grow the grains of corn it's supposed to grow. Well, we are in a world where we have to deal with the bugs of life. That's the world, the flesh, and the devil. And another thing we have to deal with is called the sins of the Father. And that's usually one of the last things we deal with because we don't realize where it came from. We don't realize that we are a sum total of our ancestors. The good stuff they did and the bad stuff they did. It all came down to us. Now, we're not responsible for what they did, but we're in the line. So some what they did affects us. And the bad things they did affects us and makes us weak in certain areas and makes us susceptible to the world, the flesh, and the devil. Makes us more susceptible to some things more than others. But these things are all designed to hinder us from developing the fruit of life in Christ that we're supposed to develop. And Jesus gave several examples of this in the Bible. There was the vine and the branches, and he said the branch can't do anything as it's attached to the vine, and when it's attached to the vine, it's going to bear fruit. Some 30, some 60, and some 100. And a lot of it has to do with how we deal with these sins that came down from the ancestors and also how we deal with the good things that came down because God gifted our ancestors in certain ways and some of them were gifted in music and some in art and some in just plain hard working and some Some are developed more in one areas than other areas. My dad could play musical instruments by ear. You could just hum a song or sing a song and he'd start playing it, never having known it before. He could play the guitar and the violin and harmonica and all kinds of things. And he never learned any of that stuff, formal learning. It was just in him. And he could play these things. I never got that. I wanted it, but I didn't get it. But my son did. It skipped over me and went to my son. Now, that was a good thing. And there was other good things. He developed, very hard-working man, my father, and he took care of the family financially and that kind of thing. And so I got some of that. And so we get good things and bad things, but we have a tendency, instead of thinking about this thing came down through my ancestral line, the devil gets us to think, oh, there's something wrong with me. Are you listening to me? We get all these wrong thoughts. We get all these weird thoughts. We have these strange dreams. We have thoughts of killing somebody or thoughts of sexual sin or all of this stuff. And we say, my goodness, I must be the worst person that ever lived. Or you have a tendency to get involved in something which becomes an addiction, which messes up your physical body and so on. And you say, my goodness, I must be a terrible person. And the Bible says that many of these things, not to particularly blame our ancestors, but to be able to deal with these things, is that we realize that much of this came from our ancestors. Because even the way we think, the way we act, the way we handle certain problems or handle certain blessings, all of these things come down from the family line. Now, normally in a family line, you have about four family lines coming into yours. You have your grandparents on your father's side and your grandparents on your mother's side. And so there is one huge amount of people that affected who you are. If you went back and all the way back to Adam, you'd have thousands upon thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people that was involved for you being here on this earth. Now, of course, the Lord put you here. But the issue is, if you really think about it, you are part of one huge family, even though you may have been an only child. You're still part of a huge family. There may have been a lot of brothers and sisters, but regardless, we're talking about a lot of people involved in you being here today. That little grain of corn today has been through so many scientific experiments, so many things involved in that little, because they have developed corn that resists disease and insects and all that kind of business, besides the insecticides and everything they put on the crops. And so anyway, the farmer deals with that. And Jesus gave another story. He said there was a man that owned a vineyard. In this vineyard, he had planted the vines and he had planted everything that was necessary, and he had prepared the place where they'd deal with the grapes and all of that. And so, and he leased it out to tenant farmers. And what he was looking forward to was the harvest, because at the harvest, he was going to come and get his share. And so, as you know, he sent some workers to get his share, and they killed him or run him off or beat him up. And finally, he came to the place. He says, I'll send my son. They'll honor him. And, of course, the son came for the father's share, and they killed him. And that was a picture of Jesus Christ dying for us. But the whole point of the whole thing was there was to be a harvest. There was to be fruit. There was to be something developed in life. And so God has placed us where He has planted us in the place that we are, in whatever circumstances, by whatever parents, the important thing is that we're producing fruit in the place that we are, difficult or not, and are we dealing with these things that came down through the family, good or bad? The good things we want to enlarge, the bad things we want to decrease in our life. So that's part of living, is decreasing these bad things that came from our ancestors and increasing the good things. Grace has a nephew that has the music ability, and she has encouraged him. She bought him a, what do you call that thing, keyboard, and got him going there. And now she's getting ready to send him some music on CD so he'll get the idea. She's going to tell him, that's what you're going to sound like someday when you practice, and it's worshiping God and all that. And so she is developing, and that's what parents are to do, develop the good things that came through the family line in the children, the grandchildren, the great-grandchildren, and decrease the bad things that came, and let them know that these bad things came. Let them know the good things, and let them know the bad things. Grandfather so-and-so could do this, and had this gift, and all of this, and maybe you have it, you see. And that's how you encourage children to produce good fruit in their life, and of course, to come to the Lord. So that's what we're doing. But we have to deal with these things in our own life, really, before we're going to do a whole lot in somebody else's. So sometimes we even say something dumb and we'll say, why in the world did I say that? Well, maybe Grandpa so-and-so said that. Are you listening? So the issue is like not to place blame so we don't take responsibility, but it is to find out where these things came from and deal with them in our life so that our life is going to produce fruit from here this day on. And also we're going to influence people around us, and that's what this whole thing on the sins of the fathers. Now you won't find this taught in 2% of the churches in the United States, probably, because nobody likes to hear it. We'd rather ignore it, shove it down, try to live it on. I can make it. I don't have to deal with this stuff. And that's why people have heart attacks and strokes and everything else imaginable, because they don't deal with these things that come down the family line. And you need to tell your children what came down the family line. Ask, you know, there used to be, it was a normal thing to keep a history of the family. They do it in Bibles a lot of times. They have family Bibles and they write everybody's name in there and where the even some information if they had a chance. And they kept this information of the family lines, and they'd say, oh yeah, so-and-so was a drunk, you know, you don't want to be like him. You understand what I'm saying? And you could go on and on about that. And it's rare today that people keep track of their family line, particularly in the area of where their weaknesses and their strengths were. Because we want to encourage the strengths and decrease the weaknesses. If you're listening, say amen. All right, this is extremely important. Some people get their 70, 80 years old before they understand this thing. And we want to get it before that. Let's try to get it as young as possible to get this information so we can do something about it. And I'm going to tell you what the main issue is and how to pray about that, hopefully, if I don't go too long, before this is over. Okay. So, some of our ungodly action, I didn't say all of it, some of it we create ourselves in our own life. Now, it's not all the ancestors. Can't blame the whole mess on them. But the thing is, we create some of our own. You can deal with that by coming to Christ and confessing your sins and forsaking them and so on. But many people are just unaware of these things. They have no clue. If somebody talks to Grace that knows Grace's mother and talks to Grace on the phone, they could mistake her for her mother because they have the same voice. Her brothers and sisters can if she calls them, sometimes they think they're talking to their mother before they ever realize who they're talking to. Where'd that come from? It came from her mother down through that line. And so you need to realize some of these things. Some people groups have certain weaknesses and certain strengths, as you know. And you have to realize, well, I'm in this group. I need to deal with this, you know. Might be anger, it might be something else. So, there's a guy who grew up hating the Jews. He had no idea why he hated the Jews. Nobody ever told him to hate the Jews. He just hated the Jews. And he couldn't figure it out. His father never hated the Jews that he knew about. Well, he got to talking to his father one day and he found out his grandfather hated the Jews. The father never said anything about it because he knew it wasn't right. And he never said anything about the Jews. But here is his son, and he hates the Jews for no reason whatsoever. Why in the world? Because it came from the grandfather, who probably came from his father, who whatever. Might have had a bad experience with a Jewish man, or it could be any nationality. It doesn't make any difference. But these things come through the family line. So, if you want to know, you see something in your child or in your grandchild, you say, wait a minute, I know where that came from. You know, and you need to work on that. Now, sometimes some people are just easily drawn into anger or easily drawn into something else. You could name a whole list. And many times it's because it's in the ancestors. Now, they're going to be judged. They were judged for their own sins, and we're going to be judged for ours. But this contributes to our situation. But this is why we often have strange thoughts. We have strange tendencies to sin. Now, sometimes you can't blame it on that. Sometimes because you watch some lousy stuff on TV or went to the wrong movies where some axe murderer is chopping up everybody in sight or some dumb thing like that. Well, then you can understand why you have these thoughts and have these dreams because of even computer programs, even the wrong music. Can music affect your life? Well, it must, because they sell millions and millions of them. Oh, absolutely. There's demonic music and there's Christian music and there's probably music that isn't particularly either one. But the issue is we need to understand where this stuff comes from. Now, let's look at 2 Corinthians 5:10. 2 Corinthians 5:10, and I want you to take some notes on this stuff and deal with it this week, even today if possible. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10. Now, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he has done, whether it's good or bad. Now, he's talking about primarily they're fruit-bearing, because when we confess our sins, that'll not be brought up by God if we forsake them. That'll not be brought up by God. You can find things about King David in the New Testament. Doesn't talk about his sin. He did terrible stuff. Why? Our sins will be remembered no more. So we can have that assurance. We're not talking about sin here. We're talking about this judgment seat is going to be what you did with your life from the time you were saved till the time that you died. It won't make any difference if you die and go to hell. What difference is that going to make? It's not going to make any. You lose everything. You lose. you see. No when in that situation. But if you come to Christ and start and you produce fruit in your life, you're going to be a winner at the judgment seat of Christ. That's what it's all about. It's to judge our works. It's not for salvation, it's to judge our works. You wouldn't be at the judgment seat of Christ if you weren't saved. I'm not talking about the white throne judgment, that's for lost people. But the judgment seat of Christ here, you ought to underline this, 2 Corinthians 5:10, important verse. Need to refer that to that every once in a while. Now, we come to Christ, it's a wonderful thing, and it's a personal thing, but we came to serve the Lord on this earth until we're not saved to serve, we're saved to love Jesus and to serve. And to serve. A lot of people serving Jesus that are the most sour people you ever been around in your life. You know, we're saved to love Jesus and people, number one, and then we are to serve Him on this earth, and that's how you bear fruit. Now, so you want to raise up your family to do the same thing. We're responsible for giving. This nonsense about just let the kids do what they want to and they'll be okay, that is the biggest bunch of nonsense that was ever came down the tube. We are to guide them to the target. What are the targets? The where God has gifted them. We encourage them in those areas. That's what we do. If it's already through your kids, work on the grandkids. That's Grace's work. She didn't have kids, so she's working on her sister's kids. And helping them and encouraging them in the area where they're gifted and where, and of course, in the Lord. Every time they come, they live in North Carolina, or they just went back, we pray for them. We do everything we can to guide them in the right direction. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 40. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 40. That doesn't sound right. How can that be? Verse 4. I just got a little carried away and put a little zero on there. All right. Over-enthusiastic, I guess, or something. All right. Let's go to verse 1 because this is so important. You are to teach your children to obey you. Period. Dr. Smock can go to the someplace, but obey your parents and the Lord. This is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment, that it may be well with you and live long on earth. You want your children to live long? Teach them to obey you. He has? He's already gone? Okay, good. Well, not good. That's a bad thing. But oh. Yeah. Praise the Lord, he's out of action. That's the best way to put it, yeah. Verse 4. You know, he did ask for forgiveness for his teaching. Because he got older, he found out that was a bunch of baloney. Not teaching your kids to obey. So maybe the Lord got a hold of him. I don't know. Verse 4, and you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. There it is. We're to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. What the gifts God's given them. Bring them up in Jesus Christ and then in the gifts God's given them. And, help them in the areas where they need to be helped and so on. And so we're to pass this on to each generation. One generation is to pass on good things of God to the next generation. Who's going to do it? We are. Now, we're not responsible for our kids' decision, but we're responsible to bring them up in the Lord and teach them. And if you messed up on it, work on them now. Do I hear an amen? Amen. All right, it's not too old. As long as they're breathing, they can come to Christ. So don't give up. Keep praying. Don't quit. Don't give up. You see, claim them for the Lord in the name of Jesus. Now, So we have to see ourselves in the light of the family line that we came through. And you know what the good things were, a lot of them, what the bad things weren't. And as Denise said, ask your husband or wife, they know. They know. They know exactly. All right. Now, so these things have been passed down. Sometimes they're called family curses. Sometimes they're called generational sins. It's all the same thing, same results, and so on. And these things can range from everything from poverty. Even poverty can be handed down from one generation to another. Spending money you don't have can be brought down from one generation to another. All these weaknesses can be passed down, whatever they are, even any addictions that you have to something that's messing up your life and body and so mind and so on. Thinking patterns, even the way you think can come down that family line, and you need to change that sometimes in your life. All right. So, this thing's all a matter of the heart. We have to be repentant in our heart, and we need to confess. We need to confess the unfaithfulness of our fathers and mothers and the disobedience of our fathers and mothers to the Lord. This is extremely important, more than their individual sins and weaknesses. We need to confess the fact, if they were not Christians, their disobedience to God and rebellion from God and that kind of thing, that's really the important part. Now, if they didn't belong to the Lord, people can believe several different ways. One is they just don't believe Christ exists. They don't believe in God, there's no God, and all this kind of stuff. Some people believe God exists and tried to live right and do the right things. They just never came to Christ. They tried to do it in their own way. They were religious. They tried to get to heaven by going to church instead of receiving a person and his work. Or they might have been Christians and they didn't obey God. That's possible. There's Christians that disobey God. And they want to go to heaven, but they want to live in the world and not live for Christ. Or they faithfully followed Christ and obeyed Him. Hopefully that was the way it was. But if we're going to deal with these things in life, you could have, like I'd say, you could drink and you wouldn't become an alcoholic. Somebody else drink, they just keep right on going. You can name anything. Food. Even overdoing it on prescription drugs. That kind of thing. You can just become addicted to a lot of stuff. Father died of a heart attack and I'm having heart trouble. Well, where do you think it came from? You might have contributed to it, but still, the weakness, heart weakness, came from the parents. Could be other things. My mother, when she was young, was very sick. A lot of her early years, and so that we have to be careful in our family that we don't give in to that stuff. We eat healthy. We get the proper rest. We take care of ourselves because there's a weakness there in the family line. And you can just go on and on with this thing. So you need to know your family tree, your family history, your family heritage, how they died, what were the circumstances of it, what weaknesses did they have as well as their strengths, and that kind of thing. So find everything out you can about your family line from anybody that knows in the family. lying can come down through the family line. Anything in the Ten Commandments, stealing can come down through the family line. Adultery can come down through the family line. Bearing false witness, giving false testimony, coveting everything that everybody else has can come down through the family line. So if you have some of that, realize this may be the problem. And, of course, you have to confess it if you actually did it in your life. If I had alcoholism in my family line, if I was smart, I wouldn't take one drink. If I was smart. So there's things I could do. But I still need to confess that because it was in the family line. Not that I did it, but they did. And it needs to be confessed. Okay. So these things are passed on. Why should I care about the past? Because it affects the present. We're not to live in the past, but it affects the present. If our past was bad, we need to confess those individual sins and then move on. Not live in the past. It'll kill you. You won't go forward. Don't get stuck in a rut. Don't keep always creating things in your life. Creating good things. Creating good things financially. Creating good things in your everyday habits. Constantly work on these things. Take risk for good things. Don't stay in a rut. A church gets in a rut, it'll eventually die if it stays the same. Anything that stays the same will eventually die. So we are made and created to be creative and go forward, progress, increase, so forth. We are made to increase. As Christians, we're made to lead other people, tell people about Jesus. The church needs to see people saved and healed and so on. This is all part of the heritage of God. If you are a Christian, you have a godly heritage as well as you have a heavenly heritage as well as the earthly heritage. So you need to be increasing in the heavenly heritage in your life. And you can do that. Be faithful in church, faithful in the Word of God, faithful in prayer, and your relationship to the Lord should be increasing. One of the ways that Israel did in the Old Testament and even the New Testament, they would tell the stories of the heroes of the Old Testament. David, they wouldn't tell the bad things, they'd tell the good things. If they told the bad things, they'd say, well, God, he dealt with that with God and show him where he did it, because he did. He confessed his sin. God forgave him. And all of those Bible heroes, and encourage young kids in we make heroes of sports figures and everything else today. We want to make heroes of Bible characters. Elijah and all of those, and certainly Christ. So we're to start changing the weaknesses of our generations can stop with you and doesn't have to go on. Now, if you already had your children, you need to talk to them about this when they're ready and old enough, and then deal with them, because a lot of the stuff they're into that's not good came from the family line. And not an excuse, but it is something. Okay, in just a minute here, we're going to get into some prayer. And so we need to do that same thing. We need to talk about people in the family line who did good things, who did great things. Who did in the Lord particularly. I would tell my children when my dad came to the Lord and how he came to the Lord and how he changed. And I would tell my kids about my mother coming to the Lord and how she changed. They wouldn't have realized that probably if I didn't tell them. I would tell them that their grandfather on my mother's side and my grandmother were baptized in their 60s and became Christians and did their best. Even before that, they were religious and they brought their kids up in church as much as possible. They lived out in the country. It was hard to get to any place back in those days. But they raised their kids up to do right, to do morally right. And I was told about another one of my family lines where there was a tendency to lie. And don't be like Uncle So-and-so. You know, they made that very clear. That's not good. And so that's what we're to do. And we're to give this information to our kids, tell them where the weaknesses were, and have them deal with them in their own life. And you, of course, can pray and help the process. Now, so if you believe that there's these weaknesses are in your life through your family line, then you need to deal with them. Now, I will tell you the truth. There's some argument among Christian scholars as whether you need to confess all of the individual sins of the ancestors or whether you just confess that they were rebellious toward God. I would have a tendency to believe that probably both of them are good. I think that's good. And you certainly want to confess the same things that you have done in your own life. Don't confess them if you didn't do them. But if you have done them at one time or another, confess those to the Lord, and you'll begin to see the Holy Spirit speaking to you. Some people say, well, you know, I just don't really feel close to God. One of the reasons might be your ancestors weren't close to God. Are you listening to me? Or you say, I just can't seem to hear from God. People talk about hearing from God, they don't hear from God. Well, it might be because your ancestors didn't hear from God. So, and they were disobedient to God. And so you need to confess that, and it will break that in your life, and then the Holy Spirit can come in and start to begin to talk to you as the Lord wants to. So, sometimes, you know, what the devil does, he just thinks, well, that's just the way you are. You know, you just don't quite measure up. You know, God talks to other people, but you're not good enough for God to talk to you. If you're honest, how many ever felt that way one time or another? There's a whole lot of hands going up, you see. And that's baloney. God wants to talk to each one of his kids. He wants you to prosper. He wants you to prosper in growing fruit in the Lord. And so anything that stops you from doing that, of course, it could be actual sin. You need to confess that and forsake it. But the issue is, excuse me, that you certainly need, every single one of us needs to confess the sins of our forefathers and mothers. It says fathers here, but I would also the mothers. I know a person whose mother left when he was 9 years old and basically became a prostitute. And obviously there was a divorce, and it has created all kinds of problems in his life because he evidently has never been taught about these generational curses, which I hope to do at my first opportunity. So, in fact, I'm going to send him probably the CDs of these two messages so that he may get freedom right there. We have to help people. People don't understand these things. If they're not taught this in church, where are they going to be taught? It's not likely. Even in Christian television, you don't hear it too often. I've heard some in certain circles where they do talk about these things. Now, so basically what you want to do is pray that, and I'm going to go through this prayer, And then I will lead you in this prayer if you so desire. But I want to carefully go through it, give you an idea of what it says, and then you can do this. And I will, it's just a simple prayer, but if you mean it from your heart, God will honor this. Now, I'll just read it to you. And I'll give this to Mary Ann, give her a copy. She can put it in a bulletin in the future so that you know what it is. Okay. It says, Dear Heavenly Father, Your Word says that if I confess my sins and the iniquity of my fathers, that You would heal me. I take responsibility for my sins and the sins of my fathers with their unfaithfulness to You and their unbelief. I ask You to forgive me of these sins and to separate them from me and place them on the cross of Christ. I declare that my family and I will serve the Lord from this day forth, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank You, Father, for Your healing and Your blessing. Amen. All right. Let's all stand before the Lord. And I would suggest there's nothing here that would be embarrassing, because you need to confess your own individual sins on your own. And then I would suggest also that you confess the known sins in your family lines. And there would be four of them, as I said. So you need to know about those family lines, the weaknesses, what they did that was wrong, as well as what they did was right. And then you can confess those things when you get home. Also, I suggest... I did have somebody tell me they're going to talk to their father, I think, on about the family, because they didn't have a lot of information in the line. But you can pretty much tell by what your weaknesses are. What you grew up with is weaknesses. If you had a tendency to lie and to curse and do all these things. Of course, if your family did them, you could be parroting those things. But you can tell a lot by your weaknesses and what... Satan uses, listen to me, what Satan uses to discourage you when God's doing some good things in your life. There's a certain button Satan knows how to push. And it's probably a generational curse. Okay. Yes.
And stubbornness that keeps them from saying, I'm sorry, or, you know what I'm saying? They fail to recognize that those things are good
sins. Pride is a big one, and I didn't mention that, but somebody, I could almost tell you, if I asked you, somebody in your family somewhere that had a lot of pride, you could tell me real quick. You could tell me real quick. That probably came down through the family line. If you have that problem, that's a personal sin. Confess that and forsake that. But stubbornness, as she said, there's all of those things. There's lists of them in the Bible. I won't go into time to go into all of that. But that's a lot of us generational curses. But God expects us to deal with this and stop those things right here. Okay? Your sin will be a generational curse if you don't confess it and forsake it. You see. Sometimes Satan will get you to just back off from everybody and everything right in the middle of when he wants to do something good. Or he'll get you to get in some argument with somebody or do something dumb. And he uses the family curses to do a lot of this. Okay, let's pray this prayer out loud. And if you mean this in your heart, some of you will begin to get freedom right this minute. Okay? Father, ask the Holy Spirit just to come now and just to minister, just to touch us, just to bring freedom. Break every band and soul tie of the enemy. Break every stronghold of the mind that has come down through the family line and through our own sins. I ask these to be broken now. I ask healing take place. Lord, I ask that you do physical healing right now as we pray this prayer. Mental healing, emotional healing, and healing of the will and decision making. I claim the blood of Christ over this prayer and over everyone that prays. That we'll see a breaking now of the work of the enemy and revival to come in lives and hearts in Jesus' name. All right, here we go. Dear Heavenly Father, your word says that if I confess my sins and the iniquities of my fathers, that you would heal me. I take responsibility for my sins, and I confess the sins of my fathers, particularly their unforgiveness and rebellion to you and their unbelief. I ask you to forgive me of my sins and their sins and separate them from me and place them on the cross of Christ. I declare that my family and I will serve the Lord from this day forth in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank you, Father, for your healing and for your blessings and for your salvation. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. We're going to have an invitation right now. And if you need to come, if you have never accepted Christ as your Savior, ever accepted Him, I ask you to come. I wouldn't walk, I'd run down this aisle. And if you need prayer for healing, I pray that you'd come. Whatever God is speaking to you about, you just may need to come down and pray. Maybe you want to pray some of the sins of your ancestors. Maybe you want to ask forgiveness for some of your own sins. And you can just come down to the altar and do that.